The nature, our nature, we have been trained to depend on ourselves so much. While the Lord, as a human being, prayed to the Father, the disciples were sleeping. When such an important event was about to happen to humanity. So we think what the Lord has given us this weekend is such a slight thing. What you do from here will determine how much the Lord has shown to you. If you take it light, then you've not seen anything. Right? Because the attacks will come. Will you stand? You know, saints, this matter, it's a very important one. I'll tell you how it's important. So many saints down the ages have got some glimpses of this revelation. But somewhere along the line, they fell by the wayside. So if Zion is it, why would somebody ordinarily walk away? Have you thought of it? If it's that important, why would somebody just walk away? I remember back home in Nigeria, one brother says something which is very interesting. When he got some glimpses of Zion, he said, "If you throw me out, I'll crawl back." It sounds very funny, but I think he saw something. That is, if we really have seen it, that should be our attitude. Right? And since it is not by power, it is not by might, we need to pray. Really, really pray and be serious about it. A lot has been said already, so I would try not to repeat the outline. If you look at the outline, so many things have been covered in the outline. Yeah, but just try to wrap up. First of all, I'd like to test whether we actually understood quite some things. When the temple was built and it was dedicated, I'm talking about the first temple. Does anybody remember what happened? After the prayer, what happened?
God refilled the temple.
Yeah, the glory of the Lord descended upon the temple.
Amen.
What does that depict? The presence of God, right? The presence of God is in the temple. Today, the Bible says, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as we all are gathered here, Zion is not a physical place. But as we are gathered here, the presence of God is with us. That's the first test. You know, in Isaiah chapter 7, I think it's verse 14 or so, it says, a child, a son will be born, and his name will be called Emmanuel, meaning when you also go to the book of Mark, I think it's in chapter 1 also, he repeated the verse from Isaiah. He says, his name will be called Emmanuel. This is a wonderful progression. Emmanuel means God is with us. Now I want to ask a question, a very honest question. When you're walking in the streets of Toronto, do you have a sense that God is with you? In your life and your living, do you have this sense that God is with you? Because we need to get to the reality of who we are as children of Zion. God is with us. Revelation chapter 21. This one is also very interesting. In verse 3. Revelation 21 in verse 3. This is the ultimate, right? But if you don't begin to practice it now, it will not be so real to you. In chapter 21, we've read it a lot, but I just want to, like I said, just recap. He said, in verse 3, he says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." If we are not experiencing it today, it will not be real to us. And that is why the whole essence of the new covenant was for God to get into us. That is the only way. We've heard so much during this weekend, but the major difference between Zion and Babylon is the presence of God. It's a major difference. In Babylon is man. In Zion is the presence of God. And so, like the brothers have said, if we sit down here together and we cannot experience the presence of God, where are we? It's very simple. You're very smart students, right? So the whole thing is, saints, whatever we can do to gain Christ, then we can actually be real today. People can say that, yeah, I want to follow you to Zion. Amen. Yeah? If God can gain this, we are good. But you see, the topic says, this particular one says, subtle leaven of Babylon. We've gone through so much of it, but I just want to go through just a little bit, yeah? In Judges chapter 17, if we read verse 2 and verse 13, Judges 17, verse 2. "And he said to his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, and on which you put a curse, even saying in my ears, Here is the silver that I took it. And his mother said, May you be blessed, my son." When you look at this verse, even though it's in parentheses, "May you be blessed by the Lord," you think it's something positive, right? So we saw during the week, during this weekend, that it is this counterfeit, that Babylon mimics the reality. It's a counterfeit. Back home, you know what they said? When they ask somebody, what is the opposite of genuine? Oh no, in my place they say it's China made. They say, what is the opposite of fake? Or what is the opposite of Zion? Good, at least we got that one. So, but what Babylon is doing is to mimic. That's the deception. It mimics the reality. And that is why it is easy to hold God's people down out there. Because it looks like the real, but it's not the real. In verse 13, it says, "Then Micah said, Now I know the Lord will be good to me since I have a Levite as priest. If you read the whole background story, he actually used the silver to mold some image. And that is the basis to create division. Meaning that each one of us, there are some levels of idol in our heart. We have to be very honest, right? Either our family, our children, or there are things that eat up God's love in our heart. And God is very jealous, yeah? No matter how big, we're in different categories. Some is their work, yeah? Anything comes in between their work, forget it, right? Some is their, even it is their self. Because the Bible says, he that loves mother, father, children. You know the story, right? And what's the last one?
Himself.
Some of us even love ourselves so much that it becomes an idol. Right? When we have, those are the subtle things, the things that provide the basis for somebody to say, oh no, I don't want to do it again. Something has to, this particular place laid the foundation for the division that we're going to see in 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. We can read 26. 1 Kings 12:26. You know the story about Jeroboam. And Jeroboam said in his heart. I love this phrase. In his heart. Now the kingdom may return to the house of David. This is what he's thinking. But everything about Babylon is self, is man. Then you go down a little bit. I want to run a little bit. Therefore, the king asks in verse 28, therefore the king asks advice. What should he have done? Ask the spirit. He asks for advice. Made 2 calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other one put in Dan. Now, these things became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not the sons of Levi. You know, this idolatry starts from the heart. This matter of division, it starts from the heart. You know, whenever we want to derail from God, it starts from the heart. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. If we are pure in heart, we will not go too far. You know. So in this environment, he has already thought of it in his heart. And then it was easy to execute it. And this is very, very bad about division. And division serves only one purpose. In the heart, it serves to please myself, me. And that is the thing that is contrary against the spirit. It is myself. If you read this whole account, everything he did here was for himself. We can read a little bit. In verse 32, Jeroboam ordered a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month. Like in a resemblance, right? Like the feast that was in Judah, and offer sacrifices in the altar. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing it to the cows that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priests of the high places which he had made. So he made offering. Wow, the brother was telling us about offering. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised, where? And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. You know, all I'm trying to bring out here is it is self against God. Yeah? So we should not be too proud, because when we are not in the spirit, there is no other place we are except that we are against God. Yeah? And then if we are against God, God will not be happy with us. We need to see that the greatest enemy we have today is ourselves. You know yourself very well, and I know myself. You know, when you don't feel like doing something, it is yourself. Yeah? The enemy is not that much the one that is outside. It's a little bit easier to deal with the one that is outside. If there is no agreement within you. I remember during the time of COVID, if you remember, right? We had so many trials from outside, but we determined that we will meet. Right? If you do not agree within you, the enemy without will not. But the greatest enemy God has today and we have is ourselves. The next temptation we may experience is when we live here, we may think we have seen Zion in its totality. No, but Zion is a day-by-day revelation. God reveals it to us day by day. You know, and you cannot just go home and drop your outline. Trust me, in a week's time, somebody will ask you, so what was the retreat about? What was the retreat about? Oh, really? You know, it is not so much of what we have heard. It is much more about what God has spoken to us. You know, in Acts of the Apostles, there's some group of believers called, in a city called Berea. The thing that was very important about them is that they said they were noble people. So when you go home, take these words back to God. Until God speaks to you. Amen. You know, saints, I plead with you. If God doesn't reveal this to you, believe me, there's no difference. Trust me. You want to know why? Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read from verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, and as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in the ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Hold it there. Hold it there. How did Paul get the revelation? Huh? Through the Spirit. You know, since there's a subtle don't forget, I'm not losing my track. There's a subtle deceit. Eh? The first impression when you hear things like this is that your head swells. It's, wow! Seen it, right? You think those who left, you think they didn't see it that way? The brother says something. He said, this word has to become flesh. Now, if God does not reveal this to you, it is still Brother Mo or Brother Ronnie's revelation. It is not yet yours. You have to take it to God. You know, we know a brother in the Bible. His name is Jacob. Yeah? He's such a bad person. Yeah? But he loved the things of God. That is why it was so easy. Even though he was a supplanter, a corny, tricky guy, but he will not joke with the things of God. The Bible says, by all means, find the truth. Do not sell it. I hope and pray that the challenge we take out of this place is that, God, reveal this to me.
Amen.
You know, may the Lord make us that humble enough to take these things back. Lord, you have made this thing. You, at least you've shown it to Brother Mo. Show it to me, right? I need to see it. Right? If you don't see it, you have not seen it. No matter how much you recite it, and by the way, even if you tell a parrot, you repeat it, right? It is not the exchange of the word. It is the word that becomes flesh in each one of us. If just one thing the Lord reveals to you, it becomes yours. That no one, nothing will take away from you. Come rain, come sun. You know, that is the word that has become flesh. That one is what you hold. Whatever is happening. You know about the blind man in John chapter 9? Huh? The guy didn't know too much. But he said, I was blind. Now I see. That you can't take away from him. So it is not how much we have heard. It is how much the Lord has revealed to us. Where we read, if you continue, he says, in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. We know the story very well. The Lord had to use this brother, Paul, reveal to him about the new covenant. It was by revelation. And let me also impress it on your heart that this revelation is so high that in 1 Peter, you know this brother Peter? He was a very exciting brother, right? You know? When the Lord told him, you know, the Lord was encouraging Peter, you need to pray. Yeah? You're going to pass through a lot of things. He said, me? I will not. You want? Let's see. Mark chapter 14. I just read it a bit. Mark 14. Mark 14. 27, I think so, right? Mark 14, 27. Yeah, then Jesus said to them, all of you, wow, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. As it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. You know what? Peter replied in verse 29. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, not me. The arm of flesh will fail. And I was telling the young people, whenever we say the arm of flesh, we're always thinking it's the arm of, let me not trust this brother, right? He will fail me, right? The arm of flesh will fail you. You're thinking about somebody, right? How about yourself? You too, you will fail. If you trust in yourself, you'll be disappointed. But Peter was such a wonderful brother. He trusted himself too much. Not me, God. You know, when I leave here, I'm going to stand for Zion, right? Some of you have said that, right? It sounds, it's a bit familiar. And look at it. It said, Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, I will not. Jesus laughed. He says, Jesus said to him, my brother, even today, you will deny me. Three times, not one, not two. Three times. Before the cock crows, you would already deny me. Saints, if you don't take these words back to God and let God let it become flesh, you can be better than Peter. You think you're better than Peter? Okay, let's see. In 1 Peter, In 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to tell you how much revelation this brother had. Anyway, thereafter. Right? In 1 Peter chapter 1, he had so much revelation. In verse 9, he talks about this salvation to be found in Zion today. He talks about, he says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's the ultimate, the complete transformation, right? The brother said we should be perfect. If God didn't mean it, he wouldn't say it, right? Peter, now, by the Lord's mercy, Peter is beginning to see it. So in verse 10, he continues, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, was indicating and testified beforehand the sufferings of the Christ. He's talking about this salvation. Do you get the salvation? You still don't get it? Emmanuel. There will be a time that God will no longer dwell in a physical temple. That God would dwell in us. It is this salvation that can make us perfect. You know why it's possible to be perfect? Because God dwells in you today. So, not that you will not fall into temptation, right? But God will, through the Spirit, already warn you. He will tell you. But when he tells you, depending on your level of consecration, you may obey, you may disobey. But when you disobey, because the Spirit of God lives in you, you have a sense of guilt. That's the difference between us and sinners. When sinners commit sin, they don't have a sense of guilt. But when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, when we do what we are not supposed to do, we have a sense of guilt. And what do we do? Christ becomes our trespass offering, right? But we shouldn't dwell in that realm, right? But as we mature, this thing begins to decrease because we love God, right? So Peter talks about this salvation. Don't worry, I'm soon round up. He talks about this salvation. He talks about the time in the history of mankind that God will no longer dwell in a physical temple, that God will dwell in us. Why? Because he wants to transform us. If he was down there in Jerusalem, Joshua, I bet you will never go there, right? But today, where is he? Huh? I love that. And where is God now?
He said inside of us.
Inside of us?
Yes.
Oh, good, good, good. And because it's inside of you, what happens? No, he speaks to you. It's left to you to obey. The more you obey, the more you are transformed. He doesn't force us, right? But as we mature, our obedience becomes more rapid. As when we are still babes, we're a little bit reluctant, right? But as we mature, that's why when God said, "Be thou perfect," it means it is possible. Because if it is not, he wouldn't tell us. So it was necessary for God to come very close. So you will not say, he's far away, right? And the more we are consecrated, the more his speaking becomes louder. So, this same Peter that trusted so much in himself is the one who is telling us about this salvation. Let's continue. He says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating and testified the sufferings of the Christ and the glories that will come. To them, it was revealed. Praise the Lord. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. Hallelujah. The brother was reading to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. You should be able to recite it by now. You have come to
Mount Zion.
What is salvation? James, you don't need to go to somewhere in Jerusalem. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. What a glorious thing. That today we can dwell in the Spirit. What a freedom. That you, Jasper, that God can dwell in you, man. This is so sweet. So God can realize Zion today. He has laid the foundation to gain a group of overcomers. He planned it ahead. So when the enemy was nailing him to the cross, he was actually facilitating that thing so that God can now, amen, God can now live inside you.
Amen.
Wow. Because he wants to make us perfect. If he was far away, then I'll have an excuse. God, you know, I can't go to Jerusalem. Right? So the prophets, can you imagine Isaiah prophesying? His name will be called Emmanuel. I'm imagining the God that dwells in a temple will come to dwell with us. Yes, because he wants to make us perfect.
Amen.
He has given everything we need to be perfect. But the thing now is our obedience. And this obedience grows as we grow in our Christian life. As we mature, our obedience matures. But then, that is if we give heed to the word of God. So Peter says, it was not to them, it was to us. I want to complete it. He says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. The angels also, they were wondering, what time, what kind of people are this? It is those to whom Zion will become a reality. Zion is no longer, you know, it was a physical place. Today, God can gain the real Zion today. He has set the pace. He has made everything. It's just like the way David got all the materials for the building. God has set the whole pace. And therefore, today we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is building today. And you know, the subtlety of it is that we are not... If we leave the Spirit, we will still go the way these other people have gone. The difference between our meeting and some other meetings is just the Holy Spirit. The sense is very important. If we take away the Holy Spirit, that we must take very serious. It is the Holy Spirit, saints. Because the Bible says he will do what the Father has desired. And I pray as we live here, especially for the young people, if you can't pray any prayer, pray to the Lord. Lord, I've heard this thing, but please reveal it to me. I want to really have an experience. You know, it's also good to look at the brothers and feel, wow. But it's also good to look at the Father and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we have this reality, that's why he said, the true worshippers will worship in spirit and in reality. Not in recite, not in this, you know. We will experience the reality of God. Then let me just conclude. You know, in Galatians, so we think already, by the time the book of Galatians was already being written, they were already doing what? They were already living the Spirit. It's all about the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm done by now, don't worry. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Let's read verse 1. Wow. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Hold on. You know the story, right? You believe by faith, but you are now returning back to works. We all, it's by the Spirit, right? That's why Paul could boldly call them, are you foolish? Huh? Chapter 5, verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7. These brothers were very quick to return. Chapter 5 in verse 7. You ran well. What? You ran well. You were following the Spirit. What happened? You now want to complete in the flesh what you started in the spirit? Believe me. Believe me. I speak under the Lord's covering. Most of the people out there, somehow, sometime, maybe they saw something along the line. Their vision was made dim. You know, I was telling some saints, one day I was in a city and they told me there was a church. And I went to the, I had to go and have fellowship with the saints. And I realized it was Living Stream Ministries. And I've heard a lot about them. I was never in Living Stream. We were the church. But some got in contact with the ministry and we thought we could, you know. But when they wanted to take over us, we said, no, this is not it, right? That was long ago. But I hear a lot about Living Stream. I've seen a lot of the materials, right? So I thought they had a lot of truths. So I went into the place. I've heard a lot about them. I went into the place. I thought we were going to fellowship in the light, right? By the Spirit, right? When it was time to fellowship, the brother sitting next to me gave me a piece of paper. You need to read from here. What? Where's the Spirit? This is something somebody has written somewhere, some 10,000 kilometers away, right? And everywhere you have to read it. So I looked at the brother, you want me to read this? I don't even know who wrote it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Saints, I like to round up. What we have heard and seen this weekend, there is no guarantee that it is ours unless we receive it from the Lord. Yeah? You remember a place you said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the word, but now, praise the Lord. May that be the experience of every saint sitting in this room. Age is not a limit. Take these things back to God. You know what Paul told Timothy? Consider what I speak to you, and may the Lord give you understanding.
Is this not a wonderful word? Amen. It's like started in Garden Eden, and then when kicked out of the garden, they have to go through the desert land. And in the end, what was the result? They're building their own houses. But then there was a new revelation. There was a new way. And then they have to go to the promised land. In the Deuteronomy 12, we see the Lord says, okay, go to this land, but do not do what's in your own eyes. You think, oh, we see which group A, B, C, D does. We can adopt a little thing and then worship our God in this way. But the Lord says, do not do what's in your eyes, but do it after how I want to be worshipped. But we know the story from Israel and our own story. We have all the knowledge about this. We know it very well, but when it came to practice, then decided, okay, did you have only the knowledge, or how deep is your reality of this word? And I was very shocked when I read like 2 Chronicles 36. And this is a warning and also a reminder when we hear the word how we should deal with this. 2 Chronicles 36 verse 14. After they restore like the temple and restore the priesthood, then there was in verse 14, it was for me very shocking, it stands, "Moreover, all the leaders of the priests," that's just very odd, all the nations, and pollute the house of the Lord, which is also created in Jerusalem. Do you see? All the leader of the priests, of the people who serve the Lord in the chapter before and praise him and give him the glory, then he says, and the people transgressed very much. So you see, you can be in the right place, you can be in the right so-called position or have the right knowledge and still get in much transgression. And this was for me like also wake up call, because why? It remember us this tragic story like in Revelation. There's also Philadelphia, wonderful church. We all want to be this church, but ended with Philadelphia? No. It ends with Laodicea, and they have the same problem. And I myself also had this experience. I was born in the church, I was raised in the church, but I have realized at some point it was just normal. It was nothing special more. Yes, I go to Sunday to the church, meeting my friends, playing soccer, making this and making that. And then I realize, oh, I'm there, not because I see the vision, but yes, what you should do on Sunday morning. And then I remember, oh, maybe, or not maybe, I have lose the first love. And it was a good sign to return. Not to stay in this condition, but to come back and hold the first love. And then you see how precious is this priesthood, how precious is that we can serve the living God, so that we can be these ones who make it and not be like it's here in this chapter that we fall in transgression. And the very sad thing is when you're in this condition, you think everything is all right. When a dead person cannot say, oh, I'm dead, because they think, oh, everything is normal. Yes, and we make it every time and everywhere else after this and this, and it's good. But you have no sense, no, this is, it's dead. And I won't really be these who can make it. So that it's like in 2 Chronicles chapter
43 verses 43.
Yes. 34, 33. Yes. And Joshua took always all abominations out of the court that belong to the children of Israel, and make all them with presents in Israel to serve God. And all these days they perhaps not following the Lord God of their fathers. Amen. Better to be in this group than in the last group. But as our brother shares, it's not a lack of understanding. I know so much, and we also so much, but we need person revelation, and we need the vision from above. And I hope we can all seek the Lord, that He can show us more what's about Zion is, that this become our reality, so that when somebody asks, oh, what's about Zion, then you can say, okay, come and see. So you don't have to explain it. But when you see something, it speaks more than 1,000 words. And I want to get there, and maybe all we can have this revelation so that we become a living testimony.
I just wanted to share one thing quickly. There was a point on the outline here also. It talks about point F2, replacing the spirit with man's laws, like somebody's phone is ringing. That's Costes, okay. Replacing the spirit with man's laws, like the Pharisees. And I like what Osi brought up from Galatians, because it talked about how they started in the spirit but ended up in the flesh. And what Paul was talking about specifically is that the context of that is that Jewish Christians came to them, the saints in Galatia, and wanted them to go back to following the Old Testament law. And Paul explained to them in chapter 2 that by the law, no one can be made perfect, justified. The law is fulfilled through the flesh. It's by me trying to keep laws, but that will never perfect anybody, because it's only by the Spirit that you can be justified and transformed. It even says so in Jeremiah 31. In the New Covenant, in verse 31, it says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Okay. It says here that this is the verse 33, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, they shall be my people. So it's not a law that I try to keep by myself, by my flesh. It's now the Spirit who's writing the Word of God in me that makes it, that produces it naturally in me, that changes me. And if we are not careful and we try to make laws in the church out of good intention, what will be the result? It will bring in death, because this is of the flesh. Usually when we think of flesh, we think of bad things like cheating, lying, stealing, you know, immorality, things like that. But by trying to follow God and do the right things by ourselves, it is the flesh, and that brings death. And I'll give you, since OC also brought up the Living Stream Ministry, I've never been in there either, but I heard from another brother that they, you know, this group of believers, they started off well. They also saw the church. They wanted to meet as the church. But along the way, it wasn't just that one brother took over as the leader, But one of the biggest problems that happened is that they began to replace the spirit by bringing in laws, a lot of laws, rules. And I'll give you an example. One brother told me that there was a training in Taiwan where many saints went to, right? And it was a training about gospel preaching. And the trainers told the saints that when you go gospel preaching, here is a category of 10 types of people you will meet. There's a list of 10 types of people you will meet. And according to, and when you preach the gospel, you have to try to figure out which category it belongs to. And then according to each category, this is the approach you should take. And you have to do this within a certain number of minutes. And if you cannot get the person to believe in those minutes, you move on to the next person. And here is the, and you will practice this. Let's go to this apartment complex and you will practice door knocking. You'll go knock door by door. You will talk to the people, categorize them, and then take the approach according to each category. If you cannot get them to believe, you move on to the next door. And not only that, when you come out of the elevator, you must turn left. Yes, you have to, when you come out of the letter, you must, elevator, you have to turn left, and that's how you start door knocking. So, it's called door knocking, right? You know what I'm talking. I don't know. I'm just telling you what they said. So rather than the spirit leading the conversation, so somebody could be even on the verge of believing, sorry, time's up, I gotta go. You know, and it's no longer, now it's not led by the spirit, but it's by laws and rules and procedures. And that eventually led to death. And was it by good intention? Yeah, it was good intention, but it led to death. And another thing I've seen, not just with that group, but even in the churches, people will implement rules. You cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot have a TV, you cannot play sports, you cannot watch this, you can't go here, you can't go there. And people will do it, they'll comply, but the root of the problem in their heart has not been dealt with. So they will do it, they will keep the law in front of people, but then when people aren't looking, they will still end up doing it. So the issue, the root of the lust of the flesh has not been dealt with. And what does that do? That brings in death. You'll bring in conformity, everybody will conform, but it's not by the Spirit. It is essentially keeping the law. It's keeping a law. It's a new set of law. It's not the Old Testament law, but now it's man's laws. And it doesn't fix anything. You cannot justify any man by the works of the flesh. It's impossible. Right? So this is what we have to be careful of. So that's why people ask us, oh, you know, how come it seems like you guys have no rules? Yeah, we don't have rules. We will not put in rules for the saints. Of course, obviously, if there's sin, yeah, there should not be any sin. But we don't tell people, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. You know, we want to encourage all the saints to know the Lord, know the Spirit, listen to the Spirit speaking to you, and let Him make the changes in you. And indeed, that's what happens. We see people changing things that they used to do, they stop doing. Amen. You don't even have to tell them. They gradually will grow in their taste for the Lord, and they grow distaste for certain things, right? And as long as it's not like, of course, obviously, as I said, it's not sinful, right? Very defiling things, right? But, you know, and for different people, it can be different things, right? For some people, playing sports, it can be an obsession. But for other people, they just do it for exercise. You can't apply the same rule for everybody. Right, like even in this group I was talking about, they used to tell the sisters, you can't wear makeup, you can't put earrings, you can't dress like this, you can only, you know, right? You can't force people to do things. So, you know, we really have to learn to abide by the Spirit and listen to the Spirit. Right? Of course, we have to be, you know, use common sense, not common sense. We have to use the Spirit. We have to be reasonable, right? Proper. You know, especially when we gather together, we have to do things properly. You know, you don't come to the meeting with flip-flops and ripped shorts and, you know, in an inappropriate way, right? But I think most of us are reasonable people, right? But on the other hand, we also don't impose rules that you can only do certain things, you cannot do certain things, right? So, we have to be really careful. The enemy can certainly attack in different ways, and we don't want to be responsible for bringing death into the church as well.